Happy Hour is presented by DirecTV Stream.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Grouch Day, Tony. How you celebrate?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Are you suggesting I can be grouchy? Me? Me, really?
You know what? The truth is, over the last 15 years, most of the length of this show, you have become much less grouchy. I'm going to give you that. Way less grouchy than you were in, say, 2005. Is that a fair assessment?
Thank you. Thank you. And you've become more grouchy, as you know. More angry and grouchy. Welcome to PTI, my fine feathered friends. In today's episode, the Bucks beat the Eagles. Another email leak involving the NFL, and Georgia prepares to host a highly ranked Kentucky team. But we begin today with the Dodgers beating the Giants last night 2-1 and advancing to the NLCS. The call that ended the game was made by the first base umpire on appeal from the Dodgers catcher. The umpire ruled that indeed Wilmer Flores had swung at a Max Scherzer pitch and not checked his swing. To most of us, it appeared Flores had checked his swing, but the call is not reviewable. Wilbon, how upset should the Giants be about the punch out of Wilmer Flores?
Hell, I'm upset. I'm rooting for the Dodgers, and I'm upset because the ending is wholly unsatisfying. And it just adds to this narrative, Tony. And, you know, yesterday you said who you got. I'm like, I don't know who I got, but I know I'm dissatisfied with what baseball has set up for these two teams to play only a five-game series and only in the division round. And the whole thing is awful. And then to have this game, another masterpiece of a game, end like this, it's just awful. So if I'm angry, the Giants really ought to be beside themselves. The Giants, I remember one year when Mike Ditka and the Bears lost the game, he thought they shouldn't have lost, and it was officiating mess involved. And the media guy the next year, he just had the Bears listed as having won the game. It was against the Packers. He just said, we won. We don't care what they said. And I thought about that last night when I'm watching this, and I'm like, my God, can baseball itself get anything right in the context of this? No.
All right, I'm going to praise at the beginning Gabe Kapler, who stood up there after the game and he said, that's not the reason we lost the game.
Yep.
So he gets my first praise. And then I'm going to tell you this. That pitch, that's not ball four. That doesn't put a person on first and second. That's an 0-2 pitch to a hitter who was 1-for-11 before that at bat in this series. And you got Warrior God Max Scherzer on the mound, and I think he's going to get out of that inning. He should have been out of that inning already. Justin Turner misplayed a ball at third base a few batters earlier. Look, I thought it was a check swing, and I'd like them to change that call so it is reviewable. Right. But I will also tell you this. This followed the pattern of the series. If the Giants did not shut out the Dodgers, if the Dodgers scored it all, they won the game. And that's what happened last night. The shame, as we both agree, is that a team with 107 wins is out. They're home. It's a shame.
Tony? It is a shame. We agree on that. And I don't want to go crazy on an officiating error because this could happen. Umpire error. It happens. It's human error. But it wasn't even close to a swing. It wasn't close. What the hell was he looking at? Was he looking at his phone? He's not a millennial. Was he looking at his phone crossing the street in front of a Mack truck like two generations? No, he wasn't. He was looking at it. He just got it wrong, man. Baseball can't get anything right in that context this season. It's awful. Let's move to football, where the Buccaneers beat the Eagles by 6 last night. Tom Brady's team had been up 28-7, and the Eagles started chipping away. Jalen Hurts threw for a touchdown, ran for two more, but it wasn't enough. In the third quarter, Philly fans sarcastically applauded head coach Nick Sirianni for giving running back Miles Sanders one of his 9 carries, 9 in the game. Tony, is Sirianni asking too much of Jalen Hurts?
Well, the numbers would indicate he is, because going into that game, Jalen Hurts had accounted personally for 87% of the Philadelphia Eagles' offense. And in the first half last night, if you think 9 carries is bad, the running back had 1. He only had 1. I'm going to give you 2 explanations that maybe you'll like. One of the explanations is that it's a copycat league. And Nick Sirianni is 100 miles north of Baltimore, and he looks at the Baltimore Ravens and he looks at Lamar Jackson and he says, I watched my guy do this in Oklahoma. I watched my guy do this in Alabama. Maybe he can do it for me. And the second, and I don't really like when quarterbacks run all the time. I think it's very dangerous, but Lamar Jackson does it. The second reason might be that the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles last March, after Sirianni was hired, said, Jalen Hurts is our quarterback. No controversy here. Jalen Hurts is our quarterback. You know, I know he's got NFL legs. I don't know if he's got an NFL arm, Mike. I don't at the moment. I mean, I think that he's got 8 touchdowns and 4 picks and 63% completion, which is pretty good. But he's got 300 yards running and 5 touchdowns, and that's very good. And that may explain it.
Let me explain it another way. You talk about how grouchy I am at the start of the show. I'm just going to say one thing and get out of here since there's already a bell. Coaching in the National Football League is often dreck. All right? It's like the 1980s when you had Hall of Famers in every division. I look at some of the head coaching decisions, like going for it on fourth down, either because a card tells them or some stupid analytics tell them. And I don't think coaches can have instincts and guts, a gut feeling to do anything. They're nearly as bad as baseball managers. And I look at some of this. When your running backs are last in the league in running the ball and Jalen Hurts is your quarterback, that's bad decision-making over a series of weeks. And I can go through the whole league. It ain't going to happen because nobody wants to criticize NFL coaches, even the talking heads. They don't want to criticize them. I will. Because a whole lot of head coaching I look at and I go, what the hell is this? These guys are not going to make me forget Joe Gibbs, Tom Landry, and Bill Parcells in the division.
The 1980s. I love it.
So what?
I'm in the 60s and you're in the 80s.
Well, that's more modern than you.
By the way, the Eagles traded Zach Ertz.
I don't want to be in the 20s with these guys.
Zach Ertz is a big-time tight end, and they just got rid of him.
They got rid of him.
It's insane to me.
You're agreeing with me.
There is continuing fallout from the Bruce Allen emails. The New York Times today reports on emails between Allen, then the president of the Washington football team, and Jeff Pasch, the NFL's general counsel. They reveal an obviously close relationship between the two men. The emails are palsy-wowsy. They speak to a common conservatism towards players and change, and they are totally indiscreet given their respective jobs. Wilbon, how does Pasch's correspondence with Allen make the NFL look?
Tony, for me, it's for me. What Jeff Pasch said in those emails, it's worse than John Gruden. There are elements of it that are worse than John. John Gruden impacted one locker room. I mean, every worldwide, you could be offended by his comments, yes. But his impact is on one club, one franchise, one team. Jeff Pasch works for the NFL, for the league, all right? And he was smug to the point of being smarmy. And believe me, people who pay attention to him and certain maybe subcultures have known this about Jeff Pasch and the others in the NFL front office. And you listen to Jeff Pasch, who talks about building a wall, and he makes fun of diversity, mocks that. You know, what else did he mock? He basically said, yeah, well, we're sending that fine. And he says to the Washington football team and his buddy Allen, I got you. I got you. And so when people like Bill Roden, who wrote a book including this theme, and I have said on this show, when we say the NFL is plantation-like, and people get all, you know, worried. Oh, my God, he went there. He called it a plantation. This is the garbage we're talking about. Jeff Pasch and his smugness to the point of being just so smarmy, you want to knock the look off his face. And I think that is worse for the NFL, though no one else will think that because it involves too much nuance and subtlety.
So I read today that a bunch of teams have come to Pasch's defense, and I expect that, and I expect the league will say something like it does not rise to the threshold where he have to get rid of him, and then I think he's going to leave, Mike, because he's damaged goods.
He
and people
leave.
In the NFL hierarchy understand this one thing, that if you're going to talk about inclusivity, this is an impediment to inclusivity.
Yes.
I think he will go sooner rather than later. I read these things. I didn't think they were like John Gruden's. I thought what they did mainly was sort of, and I want to get the words right because I wrote them down, at the least, they were a call for the status quo to maintain themselves. And maybe there are more of these emails. There were more with Gruden. I want to get to one point and I'll get out of here. I wonder if this is going to land on Dan Snyder. Because who hired Bruce Allen? It's easy to paint Bruce Allen as a villain. Who hired him and kept him employed for years and years and years? Dan Snyder, who was at the top of the flow chart of an organization that was exploitative of women, and he stood like he was at the barricades, and he said, we're keeping that name. I know they don't want to get rid of him, Mike, but at some point, this embarrassment may make them say to him, sell the team.
Let me underline this point.
Quick, go.
His words, Pasha's words, may not have the literal sting, all right, of Gruden's words, but again, Tony, there's a tone set. There's a look of... We're imperial. What we tell you to do, you will do. When we mock you, you're mocked.
It felt sort of Trumpian. And yeah, we know where that goes.
It did.
Let's take a break. Coming up, Kentucky is having its best season in 70 years, but can it give Georgia a game tomorrow?
And is Michigan State's 6-0 start likely to continue for Sparty?
So I'm saying damaged goods, Mike, and I'm saying there will be a change there. Maybe not tomorrow or the next day. I'm saying
it has to be. And people have to demand it. Demand it. He has to go. He knew what he was saying.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You are watching Pardon the Interruption, presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
We have some intriguing storylines in college football this weekend, and so we call on the expertise of our great friend from College Game Day, Mr. David Pollack. You are in Athens, Georgia. You are familiar with Athens, Georgia, because you went to Georgia. Number one, Georgia will be hosting number 11, Kentucky. This is the first time since 1950, long before you were born, even before Wilbon was born,
yes,
that Kentucky is unbeaten in six games. Do you think that the Wildcats are good enough to give Georgia a real game?
It feels a little bit like Arkansas a couple weeks ago when we were building it up and we looked at it. It was two top 10 teams, but one was clearly better than the other one. Kentucky's a really, really good team. I love the way their styles don't really fit real well with Georgia because, again, they want to smash you and they want to run the football. Georgia's like, bro, you, who else wants something? Come run the football. That ain't going to happen. So they'll have to play better in the passing game, Kentucky, than they've played yet. They'll have to be very physical on defense. And it's at home. I mean, there's just a lot of things that say Kentucky's in for a long day.
Yeah. When you look at that defensive line, they're not smashing nothing in a Bulldog uniform. Not tomorrow, not anytime soon. Number 10, Michigan State. A surprising 6-0, David, traveling to Indiana. How in the world, after last year's really disappointing season, has Michigan State turned it around like this?
Man, they got speed. They got speed on the offensive end. They've done such a great job going into the transfer portal. Kenneth Walker is one of the best running backs in all of college football. He makes people miss consistently. He's literally in the Heisman Trophy race. Michigan State's number one. But you look at Peyton Thorne spinning the ball all over the yard. Naylor on the outside last week goes for over 200. You see speed. You see competent quarterback play. That ain't something we've seen in the past at Michigan State. Mel Tucker has done an unbelievable job going in the transfer portal and finding guys that could come in, compete, and play right away. And Michigan State looks like a great team. Again, that Big Ten, they're loaded up with Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan on that side, just on that one side together. And we're going to find out a lot about those teams in the next couple weeks.
I'm editorializing here. The key words for all of college sports, you mentioned them, transfer portal. That's the most important two words in all of college sports. Transfer portal. I'll move on. TCU is the opponent for number 4 Oklahoma. Caleb Williams, true freshman, is expected to start over Spencer Rattler for the Sooners. Spencer Rattler was a preseason Heisman number 1 guy, and he may be sitting down. If you were Lincoln Riley, the quarterback whisperer, would this be an easy call for you?
Man, I don't know if it's easy, because just like late in that ball game, in the fourth quarter, they get within 2, right? And Caleb Williams has brought you all the way back. What did Lincoln Riley do? He put Spencer Rattler in the game to go get the 2-point conversion. It's about trust. It's about knowing the whole playbook. Spencer Rattler knows that. Caleb Williams just got there. Listen, Caleb Williams is a better fit for this offense. Spencer Rattler isn't as mobile. He isn't as good of a runner. This is the worst offensive line Lincoln Riley has had in Oklahoma. They don't run the football consistently. Caleb Williams is a great athlete. You know what else Caleb Williams shows me? That dude, he makes plays when there's not plays to be made. Spencer Rattler couldn't do that as well. So I'm going with Caleb Williams. I know with this world of transfer portals, you might look up and Spencer Rattler might be gone, which really, really stinks. But I just think, with that unit being offensive line not being as good, I mean, it's 7 yards per rush with Caleb Williams in the game versus 4 for Spencer Rattler. I need to get my run game going. I need to make bigger plays down the field. Caleb Williams showed me he could do that a week ago. I think he's the best guy for the job.
Caleb Williams, Washington, D.C., high school product at Gonzaga, Tony. All right, this is going to be quarterback-centric. Desmond Ridder in Cincinnati hosting UCF. Cincinnati's ranked ahead of Alabama, a sentence I can't even imagine really saying that, but that's what the deal is. Is it possible, David, the Bearcats, with Ridder leading the way, are better than Alabama?
I'm not ready to say that. I know there's people that, listen, you rank people where you want to rank people, and people earn what they get. And Alabama earned an L last week, so they're going to have to work their way back up. Cincinnati ain't losing. Look at that schedule. It is atrocious. There is no way the rest of the way they are going to. The only game that will be competitive is SMU, SMU, and they might play them twice. So that might be a competitive game. Besides that, I think their records are like 7-23 combined record for the rest of their opponents. Desmond Ridder's really, really good. He has too many highs and too many lows for me. There's too many times where he misses passes. I'm like, man, if you can just complete that. Good athlete, good deep ball thrower, but Cincinnati's a little bit up and down, so it's hard to completely buy into that offense yet, even though Ridder is a Heisman Trophy candidate. But let's be honest. We can go to Iowa. We can go to Cincinnati. We can go whoever the heck you want down the list. Let me tell you who Georgia doesn't want to play. Alabama. That's who Georgia doesn't want to play. So we can talk all we want about those other teams. Alabama has more balance, and nobody wants to play them, including Georgia in the SEC Championship game.
There we have it. The final word.
What a pleasure.
Word.
Thank you, David.
Final word.
Thank you,
David.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Appreciate y'all.
You can enjoy more of David's analysis along with the whole College Game Day crew starting at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning on ESPN. Let's take one last break, but still to come, are the Red Sox making the right move by starting Chris Sale in tonight's Game 1?
Oh, what? No bullpen night for the Sox? Chicago Sky bounced back, we hope, I hope, against the Mercury in tonight's Game 3 right here in Chicago. Of the WNBA Finals.
It could be a bullpen game because Sale has trouble getting into the second inning.
Yeah, I know. He only went one inning last time, right? Maybe.
Right.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 29th birthday tomorrow, Bryce Harper. Harper was a star attraction for the Washington Nationals, an MVP, a home run derby champ, when he jilted the Nats in 2018 and signed with their division rivals, the Phillies. He signed for 13 years and $330 million, the largest sum of money in the history of baseball. 3 years later, the Phillies have yet to make the playoffs, and there are only 10 years and $263 million left to burn. Harper's first 2 years weren't great, but this year he's back in the MVP conversation. He hit .309 with 35 homers, and he led the majors in doubles and OPS.
He's a great, 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 great player. He left a team that won without him. I'm sorry. That's the final word on that for now. I mean, I know Bryce Harper's great his 10 years, but he left and his team won. Ouch.
Happy anniversary, Crazy George Henderson. On this day, 40 years ago, the professional cheerleader, no, really, he's made a career of being a professional cheerleader, created the first successful stadium fan wave in the middle of a nationally televised ALCS game between the Yankees and A's at the Oakland Coliseum. You're all watching the wave, right? I have to admit, the first time I saw the wave, I thought it was pretty cool. By the 10th time, the novelty had wore off. By the 100th time, I would have paid any amount of money to get it to stop. I considered it a plague, and I hoped the government would outlaw it like indoor smoking.
Tony, you like mascots. This guy did more with one gesture than all the mascots ever, except the gorilla, who was the only one I like. But it is awful. It needs to be banned internationally, the way.
Happy trails to Tyler Bertuzzi's absence from the Red Wings. Detroit's all-star forward had been sidelined since January after back surgery. He returned to the Red Wings last night with a bang. He had 4 goals, and it still wasn't enough, as Detroit twice blew 3-goal leads at 4-1 and 6-3 and lost to Tampa Bay in overtime 7-6, and that's a football score. Bertuzzi became the 9th player in NHL history to score 4 or more goals in a season opener. He had a hat trick in the second period alone. On the first goal, Bertuzzi split arguably the best defensive pair in the league, Victor Hedman and Mikhail Sergachev. Bertuzzi's probably wondering what more he can do.
It gives me great pleasure for the Red Wings to lose, Tony, even though they're not in the same division anymore, even in the same conference, with the Blackhawks.
Big finish real quick. Lakers finished preseason 0-6. Cause for concern?
I don't think so, Tony, but this is going to bear watching every day starting Tuesday. The Red Sox will start Chris Sale, not Nathan Eovaldi, in Game 1. Is that a good call?
Sale says he's discovered what was wrong. Astros officially left Lance McCullers off the ALCS roster. Big blow?
Yes. Cal at number 9, Oregon tonight. Smell an upset?
No. Last one, WNBA Final Game 3 tonight. Mercury at Sky. Like, I don't know who you got.
You know who I got. The Sky. Sold out in Chicago, baby. Big night. Ball night.
Out of time, trying to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. And now, here's SportsCenter.
PTO.